Will you now take your Bibles with me and turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. Let's bow before the Lord once again in prayer. Our Father, we've just been praying to Thee in the form of song that Thou wouldst break forth the word of life to us. And now we offer that up in the form of prayer, that you would teach us your word and that you would show us Jesus. We're desperate to see him. May your Holy Spirit show us the Savior in all of his saving beauty. And may every one of us that have gathered here this morning adore him, worship him, trust him, and love him. Break forth the word of life to us now, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you've turned to Mark chapter 1. I would like to call your attention to verses 40 to 45. So begin reading at verse 40. And a leper came to him, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him. And let me just pause here and say, this is remarkable what Jesus is doing. He's touching a leper. As we're going to go on to see, you weren't allowed to touch a leper. Because under normal circumstances, indeed under every circumstance other than Jesus, if you touched a leper, you became unclean. In this case, Jesus doesn't become unclean. The leper is cleansed. This is most remarkable. He touch out his hand, puts out his hand, and he touches a leper. So it says here, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And Jesus sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to them, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a testimony to them." But he went out and he began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news about to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city. But he stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. Well, this portion that we've just read, this is very special to me. And by the way, that's the benefit of being the preacher. You can choose whatever you want to preach on. And I choose this. But this text is very special to me for two reasons. First and foremost, it is a beautiful portrait of the Lord Jesus. This text right here, when you just focus on Jesus, you see this is what he's really like. He is a compassionate Savior. And if you're a sinner here, a lost sinner here this morning, and you feel your sins, you can be absolutely certain if you'll go to him for cleansing like the leper did, he'll have compassion on you and he'll cleanse you. You take all your sins away. That's the kind of Savior that we see here. A second reason this text is special to me is that the first time I ever attempted to preach in front of a church, it was on this text. That was back in 1975 at the old Emmanuel Baptist Church in Windsor. That was while Pastor Delamore was ministering there. And if I remember correctly, the sermon was about 11 or maybe 12 minutes long. I'm glad that's all it was. The one this morning, I anticipate being just a little bit longer than that. So there's two reasons why this text is very special to me. We're going to look at this text under three headings. By the way, there's outlines for this morning's message. Does anybody want an outline? If you haven't got one already, just put up your hand, and I have a messenger here that'll gladly get you one. Does anybody need an outline? Okay. All right. So three headings that are on that outline. First of all, the leper's disease. Secondly, the leper's doctor. And then thirdly, the leper's disobedience. So let's begin with that first heading, the leper's disease. In verse 40, it says, "And a leper came to him." In Luke's account, and keep in mind Luke was a doctor by profession, in Luke's account, typically of a doctor, he adds an additional detail. He says, "There was a man full of leprosy." This leper was full of leprosy. It means the leprosy had spread. He was now in the later stages of the disease. And this disease was absolutely horrific beyond anything we can really imagine. I'll read you a couple of descriptions of it. William Hendrickson, he says this, Leprosy generally began with pain in certain areas of the body. Numbness followed. Soon the skin in such spots loses its original color. It gets to be thick, glossy, scaly. In fact, the affliction is called leprosy because it makes the skin scaly. The Greek word lepos means scale. As the sickness progresses, the thickened spots become dirty sores and ulcers due to poor blood supply. The skin, especially around the eyes and the ears, begin to bunch with deep furrows between the swelling so that the face of the afflicted individual begins to resemble that of a lion. Fingers drop off or are absorbed. Toes are affected similarly. Eyebrows and eyelashes, they drop out. The leper emits a very unpleasant odor. Moreover, in view of the fact that the disease frequently attacks the larynx, the leper's voice acquired a grating quality. His throat becomes hoarse. Fawcett's Bible Dictionary says leprosy, beginning with little pains, goes on to its sluggish but sure course until it mutilates the body and makes the patient a hopeless wreck. Bishop Ryle said it is a disease which is utterly incurable. It is no mere skin disorder, as some ignorantly suppose. It is a radical disease of the whole man. It attacks not merely the skin, but the blood, the flesh, and the bone, until the unhappy patient begins to lose his extremities and to rot by inches. In the Old Testament, when Miriam was struck with leprosy, her husband Aaron, he pleaded, "Do not let her be like a stillborn infant coming from its mother womb with its flesh half eaten away." A description of leprosy. Now, besides the physical misery of this disease, there was also the social and the religious isolation. Lepers were quarantined, which meant that they were banished from the community and they were banned from worship at the temple or in the synagogue. Under the Mosaic law, they were ceremonially unclean. This made them social and religious outcasts. They were separated from their family and from all of their friends. Lepers were literally untouchables. As I said, he could not mingle with the society. He had to keep himself isolated from anyone except other lepers. And that's why in Luke chapter 17, where we read about those 10 lepers who came to the Lord Jesus, that's why you find 10 lepers all together. Other lepers were the only ones that they could associate with. Whenever a leper came within any distance of a healthy person, they had to be crying out, "Unclean! Unclean!" so that those people would stay away. And if anyone accidentally touched a leper, then that individual became ceremonially unclean. The law in Leviticus 13, it says this, "As for the leper who has the infection, his clothes shall be torn, and the hairs of his head shall be uncovered, and he shall cover his mustache and cry, 'Unclean! Unclean!' He shall remain unclean all the days during which he has the infection." He is unclean. "He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside of the camp." Now, understanding just the absolute hopelessness and the helplessness of this leper's condition, I would hope this would help you appreciate the greatness of this man's faith. When he comes to the Lord Jesus, remember, full of leprosy, and he says to Jesus, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." That's remarkable faith. Well, he had a horrifying disease, and it was terminal. There wasn't any cure for leprosy. He was going to die, and he was in the process of dying an agonizingly slow death. There wasn't any cure, except for one, and that was Jesus. And so that brings us to our second heading, the leper's daughter. This leper knew where to go for help. He had been hearing about the Lord Jesus, and he had been hearing that Jesus works miracles. Earlier in this chapter, we read about the Lord Jesus casting a demon out of a man. And then from there, he went on to heal Peter's mother-in-law of a fever. And if you would look at verses 32 to 34 of this chapter, it says, "When evening had come, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city had gathered at the door, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases." The leper heard about this. Now, if Jesus could heal others, the leper's thinking, and perhaps he can even heal a leper. And so we read in verse 40, "And the leper came to him, beseeching him and falling on his knees before, and saying to him, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.'" In those words, "If you are willing, you can make me clean," this leper is expressing an amazingly strong faith. But he has a question. The statement, it begins with the word, if you are willing. I brought this up at a prayer meeting not too long ago, and that we can identify with this leper when we pray. When we pray, we don't have any reservations whatsoever of the power of the Lord to answer our prayers. We know he can do anything he wants to do. And no matter what we ask, he can do it. But we do come with the question, is he willing? That's the question leper has. If you are willing, you can do it. I say we know that God can do anything. The scriptures constantly bear that out. In Luke 1:37, an angel said to Mary, "Nothing is impossible with God." And remember what the angel is saying to Mary. She's a virgin and she's going to have a baby, and the baby's going to be the Messiah. A virgin's going to have a child. That's impossible. No, nothing's impossible with God. In Genesis 18 and verse 14, God said to Abraham, is anything too difficult for the Lord? The implied answer is, no, nothing's too difficult for the Lord, as impossible as it might appear. In Numbers 11, verse 23, the Lord said to Moses, is the Lord's power limited? The implied answer is, well, of course it's not limited. Who can limit the power of God? Jeremiah 32 and verse 17 says, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heavens and the earth by thy great power and by thine outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for thee. Maybe it's good when we pray, if we're praying outside, that we don't close our eyes, but rather we look at everything around us. God did it all. If God can do all of this, if he can create an entire universe merely by speaking it into existence, then surely he can answer our prayers and do anything that he wants to do. Job 42 and verse 2 says, I know that thou canst do all things and that no purpose of thine can be thwarted. Whatever we ask of God, God can do it. God is omnipotent. The leper here was asking for cleansing. What he was asking for was impossible. Nobody could cleanse leprosy, but Jesus did. You realize that what we ask of God is far more impossible than what that leper was asking for? We ask God to save souls. That's impossible. We plead with God to save our loved ones. We plead with him to do that. We pray for co-workers. We pray for our neighbors that God would save their souls. That's impossible. God's word itself tells us that they are dead in trespasses and sins. There's no spiritual life within them that will respond to Christ. The Bible says they don't fear God. They will not submit to God. When you look at them, they're getting along just fine in life without God. Who needs God in your life? They have no need of God, so they think. Here's a clincher. They don't want to be saved because they don't even believe it. Can God save someone who doesn't want to be saved? Can he do that? That's impossible. In Matthew 19, the disciples asked Jesus this question, who can be saved? And I think we probably all know the answer Jesus gave. It says, in looking upon them, Jesus said to them, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Ezekiel 36, in the form of a prophecy, it tells us what God does in the heart of a sinner. It says this, I'll give you a new heart. I'll put a new spirit within you. I'll remove the heart of stone from your flesh, and I'll give you a heart of flesh. And I'll put my spirit within you, and I'll cause you to walk in my statutes, and you'll be careful to observe my ordinances. I would encourage you, if you sit here this morning and you have no interest in being saved, that's because you have this heart of stone that the Bible describes. And I would encourage you, cry out to God that he'll take that stony heart away from you and he'll give you that soft heart so that you'll want the Lord Jesus. He's the only one who can do it. I can't do it for you. Your loved ones can't do it for you, and you sure can't do it yourself. But God can. Psalm 110 verse 3 says, thy people will volunteer freely in the day of thy power. Sometimes you hear overzealous Calvinists said, I came kicking and screaming to the Lord Jesus. That is sheer nonsense. There's never ever been a sinner who came to faith in the Lord Jesus kicking and screaming. That means it was against his will. It's stupid. And it's totally unbiblical. He didn't come kicking and screaming. You voluntarily came to the Lord Jesus. You wanted to come to the Lord Jesus because the Holy Spirit regenerated you. He changed your heart. He made the Lord Jesus totally irresistible to you. You could not resist coming to the Lord Jesus. If you're a Christian, you know exactly what happened to you. Thy people will volunteer freely in the day of thy power. Well, this leper here, he was certain that the Lord Jesus could cleanse him of his leprosy. And we know far more about the Lord Jesus than he did. We should have at least the same confident faith as the leper had. Now, I pointed out where this leper's faith wavered is in the same place that our faith wavers. Is the Lord willing? Looking at verse 40 again. And a leper came to him, beseeching him and falling on his knees before him and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." And moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him. And he said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Verse 41, it says he was moved with compassion. In the Greek, that word compassion, it means to feel sympathy, to have pity. We are constantly reading that description of the Lord Jesus in the Gospels. For a few examples, when seeing the multitude in their spiritual condition, and by the way, that's exactly how we should see them. Even if life just seems to be a breeze for them, they don't seem to have any problems whatsoever, they're just prospering, you look at them spiritually, and then you'll start seeing them the way Jesus saw them. This is how Jesus saw them. Looking at them in their spiritual condition, it says he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd. Nobody to care for their souls. It says in Matthew 14, "And when he went ashore, he saw a great multitude, and he felt compassion for them, and he healed their sick." In Matthew 18, Jesus, he told a parable that spoke of forgiveness. In that parable, he said, "And the Lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him of the debt." When encountering two blind men pleading for mercy, in Matthew 20 it says, "And moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and they followed him." In Luke chapter 7, when encountering a funeral procession, and the son, the only son of a mother who was a widow, laying in that coffin, it says, "When the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her. And he said to her, 'Do not weep.' And then he raised that boy out of the coffin." In Luke 15, Jesus tells the parable of the lost son, and he returns home with a repentant heart. And then it says, "He got up and he came to his father, but while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him." That's exactly how our Lord receives sinners when they come to him. William Hendrickson says, "One stands amazed at the number of times this compassion of Jesus, this tenderness or outpouring of his heart in words and deeds of sympathy is mentioned in the Gospels. He is constantly taking the conditions of the afflicted ones to heart. The sorrows of the people are his own sorrows. He dearly and intensely loves the burdened ones, and he is eager to help." The Lord Jesus isn't indifferent when we suffer. His heart is engaged with our hearts. If you're going through turmoil within your own heart, if you're grieving in your own heart right now, the Lord Jesus isn't indifferent. He enters into those sorrows with you. Bible says so. Hebrews 4:15, we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Isaiah 63:9, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted. Isaiah 53:4, surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. That's our Savior. He enters into the griefs and the sorrows that we're experiencing. He carries them as though they were his own. That's because he is a compassionate Savior. If you think to yourself, nobody understands what I'm going through, very possibly nobody on earth does understand what you're going through, but Jesus does. He feels it to the very depths of his soul. And you can always turn to him. You can always go to him and say, nobody understands, Lord, but I know you do. He does. Well, so far we've considered the leper's disease and Christ's compassion, the leper's doctor. Now let's look at a sad part of this text, and that is the leper's disobedience. Let's read these verses again, beginning with verse 42. It says, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And Jesus sternly warned him and immediately sent him away. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer your cleansing what Moses commanded for a testimony to them. But he went out and he began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news about to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city. But he stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. William Hendrickson, he says, in verse 40, we saw the leper at his best. Now, in verse 45, we see him at his worst. In verse 40, the leper, he's bowing down in humility, in reverent faith before the Lord Jesus. In verse 45, we see him blatantly disobeying a stern command from the Lord Jesus. Being cured of his leprosy, he obviously was filled with joy and excitement, and he wanted everybody to know, look what Jesus has done for me. But his joy and excitement, it was no excuse for his disobedience. There were at least three reasons Jesus told him not to do what he did. First of all, this man was to obey the law of Moses. That's what he says in verse 44. And he said to him, see to it that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a testimony to them. His excitement can wait until he has obeyed the word of God. And this offering that he was to give according to Moses' command that included two birds. One of the birds was killed and sacrificed. The other bird, it was dipped in the blood of the dead bird, and then it was released. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus. You see that, eh? Of the Lord Jesus in blood dying upon the cross, but then his being released and his resurrection on the third day. Well, he disobeyed the law of Moses. Secondly, the Lord, he didn't silence this leper completely. The miracle Jesus performed, he said it would be a testimony to the priest. Verse 44, see to it that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a testimony to them. So think about how this worked under the law of Moses. When this guy, when he saw some spots on himself, And he had this thought, could this be leprosy? The law commanded him to go see the priest. And so he went and he saw the priest. The priest inspected him, probably gave him a 7-day trial period, so to speak. Yeah, that was to see, is this going to develop or is it going to go away? 7 days later, he comes back. The priest looks at him. Yep, you've got leprosy. So the priest formally declares this leper a leper. Now he's going back, possibly even to the exact same priest. And says, look at me now. He's got the skin like a baby. And that priest who once recognized him as having leprosy, that same priest now is officially going to pronounce him clean. And he has no choice but to recognize Jesus did it. This was a testimony to those priests. Jesus had performed an undeniable miracle. And then by the leper's disobedience, the ministry of Jesus was actually hindered. Look at back at verses 38 and 39. And Jesus said to them, let us go somewhere else to the towns nearby, in order that I might preach there also, for that is what I have come out for. And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. Now read verse 45, the result of disobedience. But he went out and he began to proclaim it freely and to spread the news about to such an extent that Jesus could no longer publicly enter a city, but stayed out in unpopulated areas, and they were coming to him from everywhere. So this man doing what Jesus told him, don't do, it actually hindered the ministry. The leper, he sinned in at least three different ways. First of all, he disregarded the Mosaic law by coming close to Jesus. Remember, we read it from Leviticus. He was to cover his mustache, which was probably to cover his mouth. He was to cover his mouth and cry out, unclean, unclean! No, he didn't do that. Remember the 10 lepers in Luke 17? They did it. They stayed at a distance according to the Mosaic law, and they cried out for mercy. Not this guy. He disregarded the Mosaic law and he came close to Jesus. He came close enough to the Lord Jesus that Jesus could touch him. Secondly, this leper disobeyed the Lord Jesus by ignoring what it says here, a stern warning not to tell others. Thirdly, he disobeyed the Mosaic law by failing to offer the required sacrifices for cleansing. This guy, in all of his excitement, he really sinned, and he sinned in several ways. Well, not only do we see the leper sin, but we also see the amazing grace of the Lord Jesus here. Jesus knew what this leper was going to do, but he cleansed the guy anyway. He felt compassion for him, so he cleansed him. That's exactly the same way the Lord Jesus treats us. He saved us. Every single day he forgives us, knowing full well that we're going to sin against him again and again and again and again. But he saved us knowing that. And he continues to love us. He continues to be gracious towards us. And even in light of his grace, in light of his daily forgiving us, in light of his goodness towards us every day, what do? Exactly what the leper did. We sin. And the Lord continues to forgive us. That sure isn't an excuse to sin. His kindness to us, that is the strong motivation to strive against sin. But we still do what the leper did. And the Lord still treats us the way he treated the leper. Well, let's bring this to a conclusion. First of all, the Bible puts leprosy in a different category of all of the different diseases in the Bible. Unlike other diseases, leprosy cut people off from society and from worship. Also, under the Mosaic law, leprosy defiled the person. And because it defiled the person, leprosy is spoken of as cleansing rather than healing. You see this in our text. In verse 40, the leper did not say, "If you are willing, you can heal me." He didn't say that. He said, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." That's the way leprosy was thought of. Leprosy made an individual ceremonially unclean, so he couldn't worship God, and he couldn't be with God's people. In the Bible, leprosy, it is a vivid picture of sin. Sin, the lureness of sin, looks really attractive, doesn't it? That's why we sin. This is how God sees sin. Leprosy, it defiled, it disfigured, it was progressive, and it was terminal. That's a description of sin. In God's sight, sin defiles us. It totally disfigures us, erasing, disfiguring the image of God stamped upon us. Sin is progressive, and sin is terminal. It leads to the second death. John MacArthur says leprosy is a graphic illustration of sin. Like leprosy, sin infects the whole person, and it is ugly, loathsome, corrupting, contaminating, alienated, and incurable by man. Lepers in ancient Israel were vivid object lessons of sin. Bishop Ryle says, "Is there nothing like leprosy among us? Yes, indeed there is. There is a foul soul disease which is ingrained into our very nature and cleaves to our bones and marrow with deadly force. That disease is the plague of sin. Like leprosy, it is a deep-seated disease infecting every part of our nature, heart, our will, conscience, understanding, our memory, and our affections. Like leprosy, it makes us loathsome and abominable, unfit for the company of God and unfit for the glory of heaven. Like leprosy, it is incurable by earthly physicians. It is slowly but surely dragging us down to the second death. And worst of all, far worse than leprosy, it is a disease from which no mortal man is exempt. Isaiah 64 and verse 6, it says, we are all in God's sight as an unclean thing. If you're not a Christian, this is how God looks at you. Whether you like it or not, it's what the Bible teaches. You're unclean in the sight of God. That's why you ain't going to get into heaven. No unclean thing can enter into heaven, into the very presence of a holy God. There is no cure for spiritual leprosy apart from the intervention of God. That's a fact. And it's a fact that God has intervened. Zechariah 13, perhaps one of the most beautiful prophecies in the Old Testament. It says, in that day a fountain will be opened for the house of David and for the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for impurity. A fountain speaks of cleansing. And as we know, the fountain is Jesus. If you'll go to that to the Savior, the way that leper went to the Savior, you'll get cleansed just like he did. God will make you totally pure within. Just supposing this leper thought that he was okay and he didn't go to the Lord Jesus, what would have happened to him? Just imagine him looking at himself full of leprosy, looking at himself in a mirror and thinking that, he looks pretty good. He looks in the mirror and, he sees his flesh is rotting right off the bone. Looks at his ears, they're rotten. They're actually rotten. His nose is rotten. He stinks. He stinks like rotting flesh. To get near him, it's nauseating. There goes another finger, rotted off, laying there on the floor. Just imagine him looking at all this and saying, I look okay. I'm all right. That's what a sinner does every day. I'll tell you what some of you are going to do tomorrow morning. You're going to get up, you're going to stand in front of the mirror, and you're going to look at yourself and say, I look okay. Nothing wrong with me. You're going to do that. You ignore the fact that you have a far more deadly disease than that leper had. You've got sin, and God sees it. It's a poison that has spread through all of your innermost being. The very depths of your soul is infected. Just like the leper, you're unclean. Unclean. And like the leper, the disease you have, it's terminal. It ends in hell. That's serious. There's one who can cure you. Just one. It's the same one who cured the leper. But unlike this leper here, you're not going to go to the one who can cure you. That's what you're sitting there thinking right now. I ain't going to him. I ain't going to become a Christian today. I'm not going to acknowledge my sin today. I look in the mirror and I'm okay. Right? I know that's what a few of you are thinking. I'm okay. You're not okay. The Bible says, you're not okay. If you were okay, the Lord Jesus would have never left glory and come down here and agonizingly died upon the cross and suffered the wrath of God in the place of sinners. He would have never done that if you're okay. You're full of the leprosy of sin. Jesus once said to a group of people, unless you repent, you will perish. He said that to people who thought, they're okay. Nothing wrong with them. That's who he said that to. If you don't have a Savior, you're not okay. You're defiled in God's sight. And when God looks upon you, he sees all that defilement, all that pollution of your sin. He sees it all. He sees that you're unclean. And all your sin, it's nauseating. But he's still willing to save you. He's still willing to cleanse you. He's intervened. He's provided a Savior for you. If you'll just acknowledge your desperate need of Jesus and cleansing. And just like this leper discovered, when he went to the Lord Jesus and said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You're going to find the same thing. Jesus will be moved with compassion on some helpless sinner, and he'll make you clean. That's a promise that he gives. Well, let's pray, and then we'll sing a hymn. Our Father, this desperate spiritual disease, a spiritual leprosy, Lord, because it's out of sight, even some here this morning, they're going to ignore it. They're going to ignore it. And they're going to remain unclean until their dying breath, unless you will please intervene. Lord, how we pray that you show them the desperate, desperate plight they are in. And Lord, show them the cure, that they can be forgiven and they can be cleansed of all their unrighteousness if they would but come to the Lord Jesus. Speak to their souls, we pray. Have compassion. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's conclude with the singing.